and welcome to another episode of the Saxo Market Call podcast. It is Tuesday, and that means that we are going to talk equities today. And what that also means is that I'm joined, not in the studio, but online, by you, Peter Garnery. Hi, Peter. How are you?
Hi, Son. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks. Obviously, lonesome here in the studio, but I'm sure we've done quite a few online episodes in recent weeks. So I hope soon we'll be able to be here together. But
yeah, let's make a commitment to next time do it in the studio. Unfortunately, I'm out without a car today, so that was not planned at all. Otherwise, we would have been talking together in the studio.
That is totally fair, of course. Peter, today, unsurprisingly, probably for many, we're going to talk earnings because it is a relatively big earnings week. But before we go into that, I think we'll just run down the regional performance, how it's going out there in the equity markets this month. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about an article you put out yesterday, which was quite interesting. But let's start with the regional performance, Peter. How has it been looking in the US, Europe, and Asia here in April?
Yeah, we have actually had a pretty interesting divergence in market and across what is called equity factors, but we'll get back to that. So if we just start with the S&P 500, the leading benchmark index in the world, tracking the largest 500 companies in the US, down 0.8% compared to a week ago. We have Japan down 1.1%, and then some of the top performers are the European equity market up 2%, Hong Kong 3.6, UK 3.2, and then Australia up 0.9%. So that was that's the week's flavor across the different geographies. And inside that divergence, it's very clear, and that's what I talked about in my equity note yesterday, that we have seen a pretty dramatic shift away from momentum stocks and momentum markets and into value-oriented sectors and thereby also countries, because the UK is a value index relative to so many other things. The same goes for Hong Kong and Europe, and those were the best performing markets. Australia has a commodities angle to it, which is also doing pretty well these days. And then Japan and the US were the biggest momentum markets going into this this quarter and this week, and there we have seen a flip. So I called my note, the warning shot has been fired on Friday ahead of the earnings season. And with that, I meant that it was a pretty big dramatic signal, right? Because you had technology stocks, the technology sector was down more than 3% on Friday. And you had some sectors like energy that was actually up. So you had a 4% difference in a single day between sectors. And I was just asking the very obvious question whether this was the beginning of a bigger rotation inside the equity market, that a lot of the growth and momentum investors are beginning to be worried about whether these companies can actually deliver against those very high expectations and beginning to shift over into other sectors where the expectation has been low for quite a bit. So that's an open question. I think that that's what is taking place, and that's also why the earnings season, in particular this earnings week, Sean, will be even more interesting, because we've talked endlessly about it. It is all about expectations, and the quarterly earnings results very much shape those expectations.
And why don't we just jump into the earnings, Peter, because I think you laid out the land there very clearly, and obviously you talk about these buckets of equities that some are momentum, like people like them and buy into them, whereas value, I guess, is more or less the contrary, where it hasn't necessarily been that popular, and you see that the price doesn't necessarily reflect the fundamentals of the company. And there's other buckets too we may dig into at a later stage. But Peter, let's talk equities. If we look at them, the earnings today, not equity, let's talk earnings. And let's look today, because one of the big ones come out later today from the US, and that is, of course, Tesla. And talk about momentum shifting. I mean, that has been a darling for long and has had some pretty rough times since it turned out not to be that anymore. What's your expectation to Tesla? I know it's something that you follow pretty closely.
Yeah, Tesla is definitely the earnings release that I'm looking forward the most. And it's tonight, as you said, and it's after the US market close. And for me, there's a bunch of things that investors will be looking at. But before we go into those details, I talked to a journalist earlier today, and I started out the conversation about Tesla with that. For me, the most accurate prediction of the EV market, and it really stands out for me as really a pivotal moment, was that when Dyson, you know, the famous inventor behind the Dyson vacuum cleaners, etc., he was starting up a major electric vehicle project in Singapore with full-fledged factories, etc., and he pulled out dramatically in those very early days, just before the electric vehicle era took off, with Tesla charging ahead. And the argument back then for why he was not pursuing the electric vehicles after all, Mr. Dyson said, well, they're too easy to assembly. And I think it's an eye-popping statement. And back then, nobody really took notice of this statement. But I think with the fallout we're seeing in the electric vehicle space, I think it's pretty clear that that was a very accurate prediction, because a lot of people are saying, well, China's inroad into the car industry through electric vehicles is a testimony to how they have advanced on the technology ladder. There are some truth to that, especially on the battery technology where China is leading. But I don't think it fully captures what's really taking place here. It's not as much as China have increased on the technology ladder, as much as this, that cars are just less technologically difficult to produce, because the combustion engine is a very, very advanced engine to build. There's a lot of patents, there's a lot of small components. It's building a combustion engine car is a daunting thing. And the reason why the entry barriers to the industry have been so high for decades, and with no new car company coming around the corner. And electric vehicles have ignited something we haven't seen for half a century, namely a lot of new startups in the car industry. And what we have seen as well with the Chinese competition is that they're burning a lot of capital. So it's not as easy, because when it's easy to produce, there'll be a lot of competition, and it'll be more difficult to defend your margins. And that's what we're seeing. And that is, coming back to Tesla, the problem today, right? There is intense competition. It's definitely coming from China. There is a pricing pressure. Tesla just this weekend, slashed prices yet again. Also on their FSD, the full driving technology, or their attempt to do full driving capabilities, that was slashed by 33%. They laid off 10% of the global workforce. Elon Musk is rumored to have argued the case for 20%, so maybe more layoffs are coming. So that makes the situation extremely tough for Tesla, and it will most likely, son, and then I'll shut up, talked a long time here. Revenue is expected to be down almost 5% compared to a year ago, and that will be the first decline year on year since the quarter at the beginning of the pandemic. So tough times ahead for Tesla.
And just a sort of a random note to that, I think that it is quite interesting looking at least the roads here in Copenhagen and Denmark these days. There's so many new car brands that I haven't seen coming out there, and most of them are EVs and most of them are, as you say, coming from China. It's just interesting that the idea of making a car brand has become relatively easier than when we had old fashioned combustion engine cars. So just interesting and very evident in at least everyday life here. But
absolutely, and maybe I should add, son, that I think actually that the consensus estimates for Tesla going into the earnings release potentially might be wrong. Not so much on the revenue side, but and this is just the best guess from my side. I could be totally wrong, but I just have a feeling that the analysts that are covering the stock and the consensus estimates we are looking at on growth margin and operating margin, those consensus estimates are wrong. I actually think potentially that the impact on the margin of the Tesla has been far higher here in Q1 than what analysts are suggesting. And in a worst case scenario, Tesla, and that will be the headline tonight if that comes true, is that Tesla delivered a negative free cash flow for the quarter. That is definitely not in consensus, but it is within the range of outcomes given what has taken place. And then given the latest price cuts, I think Q2 could prove to be a very, very tough quarter for Tesla.
And I'm sure if any of those extremes happen, then we will of course cover it next week. We'll most likely cover it in any case. Other reportings today, earnings. We have Visa coming out later also, which is a relatively big company. We also had Novartis coming out earlier today, which also seemed to go pretty well. Are there any comments you want to connect to those, or should we just jump to the big one tomorrow?
I think Novartis shows exactly why we were positive on the healthcare sector in going into our Q2 outlook. The stock price is up almost 5%. A lot of good momentum and vibe around some of their newest blockbuster drugs. And it's trading at a new all-time high. And it's pushing up the European equity benchmark indices here. And we have ASAP, which is Europe's largest software maker. This company was trading at 80 euros per share, 80, by late September of 2022, when everyone was doom and gloom because of rising interest rates. And now fast forward, it's trading 173. So that's more than a doubling of the share price.
Wow.
Yeah, and that stock is also up 5% today. And Novartis and SAP are major stocks in the European indices. So the European equity market has a field day today, as we also noted in that geographical performance split in the beginning of the podcast. And I must say, I feel like a lucky guy because I went all in and I was tactically positive on Europe for the quarter and went neutral on the US and negative on technology. That has proven to be a lucky bet so far. Let's see if that maintains the course for the rest of the quarter.
Hard work usually equals being lucky, so I won't just attribute that to luck, Peter. That's also because you always do a good job. But let's move on till tomorrow, where we also have one of the big tech companies. We have Meta reporting their earnings there. What's your take on Meta? Do you think that will... I mean, they haven't been in the same situation as Tesla, but we do have this doom and gloom discussion about the Magnificent Seven and all that jazz. Do you think that'll reconfirm the idea that Magnificent Seven aren't so magnificent anymore?
Well, you and I joked about that ever since Tesla is down more than 40% this year. So I think Tesla has definitively this year made it very difficult to talk about the Magnificent Seven. It's, if anything, it's the six pack, right? It's the six out of those seven stocks that are really doing well because Tesla is doing bad. Meta is one of those stocks in the Magnificent Seven that have actually been doing quite well and is expected to do quite well tomorrow night after the US market close. Analysts are expecting a 26% rise in revenue and a 70% rise in EBITDA. So that's the earnings from operations before, you know, depreciation, taxes, and interest rates, and interest expenses and amortization. So there's the online advertising market is still booming. They are really great at monetizing Instagram and Reels, etc., and a lot of their online assets. And then the expectation as well among analysts is that the generative AI has improved their ad targeting, and that's also lifting their prices. And Meta is right now doing a better job than Alphabet, which we'll talk about in a few seconds. Alphabet is only expected to see their revenue rise by 14%. So Meta is really leading the gains here in online advertising markets. The potential negative is around this whole reality lab, which is their VR business and the metaverse, etc. Mark Zuckerberg really he got the cues from the market and scaled back the ambitions and cut the capex, but it's still a segment inside the company that is losing a lot of money. I think that's potentially something where the market wants to soon see some clarity. Is this something we're going to bet on going forward, or do we scale it down, or is it something where Mark Zuckerberg takes the opportunity from these rising cash flows and say, okay, yeah, I'm doubling down on reality labs? Because the fact is also that it seems like Apple is increasingly getting good traction, at least among enterprise customers, with their Vision Pro AR, VR goggles. So the space is potentially heating up. So curious to see what they say about that.
And if we look at more, I guess you can say, old school tech companies, then we also have Qualcomm and IBM reporting tomorrow. I sort of remember that last earnings, we talked a little bit about IBM because they had a relatively interesting report. Do you have anything to add to those two companies, or should we jump straight into the big day Thursday?
I think that it's difficult for people to relate both to Qualcomm and IBM. I think IBM is a boring business. Qualcomm is related to consumer electronics and the smartphone industry, etc. And it's a component manufacturer inside that industry. It's not something that is super interesting. But I think we should talk about Thursday, right? Because we have three companies that are worth listening or watching. So you have Caterpillar that reports before the market opens in the US, and then you have the two technology giants, Microsoft and Alphabet, on Thursday after the close. So if you look at Caterpillar quite quickly, revenue is expected to be down around 3%, operating profits down 15%. So there's a lot of mixed signals in the global construction industry. There's a lot of strong spending on infrastructure, and they still have a very attractive backlog. But it's really some of the cyclical parts of the business, especially those related to China and the mining industry, that is holding Caterpillar down a little bit, whereas energy and transportation segment might be the bright spot. So, and the reason why we always look at Caterpillar is that they have a huge footprint in Asia and in China. So it often gives some pretty good indication of whether global growth on the manufacturing and industrial side of things whether that growth is picking up. Microsoft and Alphabet. Microsoft is going to deliver another blockbuster quarter. I expect very strong results across the board. 15% revenue growth by analysts expected, and EBITDA up 21%. It's all driven by a lot of these AI workloads in their cloud data centers. And then, as I wrote in our preview note on these earnings releases, the Copilot feature in the Office suite and some of their on GitHub, etc. This whole Copilot feature is very much hyped, and I think investors want to see whether there's anything behind this hype. So if Microsoft can deliver any metrics suggesting whether the adoption rate of Copilot is going up, that would be something that could be a positive story for Microsoft. And then final, Alphabet or Google, if you want, a little bit the same story as Microsoft. It's a mixture of their cloud business, but also strong online advertising markets, as we talked about. And we expect yet again another strong performance from Alphabet's YouTube business, which is one of the bright spots in their ads business.
All right. Yeah, I think this idea about Copilot is super interesting, because that will be one of the most easy ways to integrate AI into, more or less, you can say, everyday work life for people working in offices. So let's wait and see what happens there. Friday is we're going to turn attention a little bit away from tech, and that's going to be Energy Friday. We have, for instance, Exxon and Chevron reporting there. Is that an industry to pay attention to? I know on the commodity side, there's been a fair bit of stuff going on about it. Energy also related to the increasing geopolitical uncertainty, but is that, I guess that isn't something that will reflect directly here, but is it still something that you want to pay attention to?
Yeah, so energy has come back in focus because of the tensions in the Middle East, and the Brent crude prices are currently trading around 86. So it's roughly within that range that we have been in for 2 years. ExxonMobil is not expected to show or highlight or guide dramatic revenue. So the revenues are actually expected to be down a little bit in Q1, and expecting to see a little bit positive growth and outlook for Q2. So nothing really dramatic. The reason why you buy the energy giants, or why you would like exposure to the energy sector, is not because of the growth. I think that the calls for peak oil is getting closer and closer by every year, and it could come already in 2026. So this is definitely not a growth industry, but you're getting very attractive return on capital at these levels in oil, not so much in the gas business, but definitely in the oil business. And if you take a company like Exxon, You're getting a dividend yield of 3.2%, and they're buying back their shares roughly equal to around 4%. So they're returning a lot of capital to shareholders. So it's what it gives you in your portfolio is that it gives you an income stream that lowers your risk, so to speak, to the growth segments of your portfolio if you have the technology. And then it also gives you a hedging component against unexpected inflation risks. Typically, inflation have come historically from the energy and the commodity side of things. So it is something I think you should consider for your portfolio to balance it and make it more robust to different type of outcome scenarios on the macroeconomy. But it's not something you add. It's not something you should add a lot of in your portfolio. So, and you don't do it for growth, you do it for stabilization and income and that inflation hedge.
All right, Peter, and just a quick note, when you say peak oil, it is related to the highest consumption that we're gonna spend on the globe, which is due to green transformation, et cetera, bound to go down at some point. So that is correctly understood, right? It's not related to the peak oil price or anything like that.
No. It is oil consumption, global oil consumption, which is around 100 million barrels per day right now. And the Bloomberg's New Energy Finance Research Unit, last time I checked, I'm pretty sure they said 2027, but that estimate has been pushed forward a couple of times. So I wouldn't be surprised if it happens before 2027, but I'm arguing the case that it's approaching faster than most people will admit, and I think the clearest signal that it is happening is the behavior of Saudi Arabia. There's this famous phrase, "Son, don't listen too much to what people say, but." See how they act, right? And I think Saudi Arabia is definitely acting like there is a peak oil moment coming very soon. They are investing heavily in the tourist sector, and they're making a lot of changes to their society to make it more accessible, especially for European and Asian tourists in the future, because they know they need to diversify their revenue streams in the future to be able to provide the income and welfare benefits for the population. So it's coming closer. For sure.
All right, and just to recap, Peter, it's going to be interesting to follow this idea of whether we have seen a shift from momentum to value stock, and I'm sure that's something that we're going to follow up on. In terms of earnings, today, Tuesday, we're going to have Tesla. Tomorrow, we're going to have Meta and Qualcomm, IBM. Thursday, we'll have Caterpillar, Alphabet, Microsoft, and Friday we're gonna focus on energy and especially ExxonMobil and Chevron. But apart from that, Peter, thank you so much for coming and making us all a little bit smarter as always today.
Thank you so much, Sean.
And to all of you out there, on behalf of Peter Gonnery, the Saxo Market Call podcast, everybody here at Saxo, my name is Sarnato. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back anytime soon, and until then, happy trading.